one state, because Israelis, including Arab Israelis, who get the best education in the Middle East, who want...
It's an excellent question.
When it was talked about that land swaps were talked about, many Arab Israelis said they did not want to go to Palestine. They want to stay in Israel because the standard in the theater. So how many people have to die before you impose one state? If you only want to get one state, it's by imposing it.
I think it's a great thing.
We go to the panel.
Next. I impose it. Come on. How many have to die before we impose one state?
We got the point.
Mr. Lowenstein?
Well, I'm very comfortable to answer. Thank you for asking.
How many have to die, Mr. Lowenstein?
Then you've already said the panel answer now.
What I find interesting about that question, it's a legitimate question to ask how many Jews or Palestinians within the territory support it. I would say this. No one, including me, or the book, is trying to impose something on anyone. There's nothing about saying, I have the right. No, it's not a conversation. You've asked your question, so listen to the answer. If you want to talk about the question of what has happened in the last 20 years of a so-called peace process, there have been thousands upon thousands of people killed on both sides. At what point does one say the Jewish exclusionary policies has had its time? That is what Israel is today. It's a one-state solution today. In polls within Palestine itself, support for the one state, the latest poll, 30-40%, and growing. In the Palestinian diaspora, vast majority. So if you're talking about imposing a solution, what I'm saying is, as someone who is not just Jewish, but also someone believes in human rights, if you believe in continuing Israel as a Jewish state, the only way it can continue is an exclusionary nation. One cannot say, as a Jew, or as someone who supports Israel as a Jewish state, that the situation should continue indefinitely, because by continuing indefinitely, and the illusion of moving towards two states, blaming there's no Palestinian partner, there's suicide bombings, at what point do you say, when Palestinians will be a majority, which we're not that far away from that point, at what point do you say that Israel has no rights to exist?
I'm asking
rhetorically.
How many has my answer before you impose one thing? You have an answer.
Come on.
Can you let me? You've got a problem.
Don't ask me a question. You are in my question. How many have to die?
200,000. Next question.
I think you need to learn some answers. Point two.
No one heard the answer.
Sorry.
I've answered the question. 6 million, you're not going to say that. That's my answer.
Have
you
heard
that?
Yes.
You're right there.
That's not a real question.
All right, please. We've got, Ahmed wants to answer Mr. Hoffman, and then there's two other questions.
So first, there's a very good narrative, actually. I was actually writing a historical narrative. I think first there's got to be a cessation of the trauma before we can talk, at least on the Palestinian side, before you can ask Palestinians to build a Holocaust museum and go to it, for instance. There's got to be a cessation of the ethnic cleansing. I think it's a little bit unfair and probably unlikely to ask the Palestinians to absorb and really begin to think deeply about the historical narrative on the Jewish side. For the Israelis, there's a lot of good work being done by a guy named Eitan Bronstein, Zocherot, which means remembrance or memories in Hebrew. He co-authored a great essay with Salman al-Basit, who's done a lot about the Palestinians. They've been ethnically cleansed and destroyed about 500 villages. And so there's already work being done on the Israeli side. And the fact that there are laws passed against Nakba remembrance, well, the fact that the right wing in the Israeli Knesset is willing to say the word Nakba is kind of an implicit recognition of Nakba. And I'm hopeful that will continue. PNC elections, I am really glad you brought the issue up. So I've written a few things about it, mainly for Al Jazeera, about the necessity for Palestinian representation. I mean, the biggest problem now is that there's not, for as a Palestinian, there's not really a representative body. And so when I'm sitting here in front of you, I'm sitting here as an activist. And the role of an activist is to work in one way or another for a vision that you believe is just and right. And so that's what I'm engaging in here, and I'm not apologetic about that. I think a society is weakened when people who are engaged and interested decide to sit back and follow popular opinion, whatever it may be. I mean, popular opinion, lots of the time, may not reflect the best things in a society. And so my role as a Palestinian activist is to say, equal rights is my vision for what's right. I'm willing to work for it. 30% of Palestinians support it today. we're going to get them to that 99% threshold. I'm not going to apologize for that. How many people have to die? It's a legitimate question. I'm not impressed with the way you ask it or the exchange.
Sure,
but that's not respectful. You've got to be respectful in this context.
What's your answer?
Hopefully nobody. I mean, the idea is that we're engaged in a non-violent struggle for equal rights, where Jewish people have lots of privilege to accrue to them that I don't have because I wasn't born Jewish. Right? I mean, that's wrong. You sound like a British person. It could be wrong.
What's the privilege about being unmolested in your own state?
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yes, that's right.
So I think you've got to be respectful of everybody in this room.
It's a respectful question.
Sure, and I'm answering it. Nobody has to die. The Israelis just have to agree to relinquish their privilege.
To relinquish their state.